So one of the things that my parents used to do, when Jerry, when you came to the University of Minnesota, you were the marching band director, and my parents would take us down to Bierman Field on Friday nights before the games, before the Gopher games, to watch the marching band's Friday night rehearsal. And your very first year, I was in fourth grade, and we were standing on the sidelines watching the marching band rehearse, and you came over and shook my tiny little 10-year-old hand and introduced yourself and asked me what instrument I was going to play in the band someday.
I
And
do remember that.
I
I
knew you
remember that
would.
like it was yesterday.
So,
Only because you ended up coming to the school there and I knew your father and but
and that just got the ball rolling right there. That just kicked it off. So.
made my day. You just made my day.
In the year 2020, advocacy for music and music education has never been more relevant or more important. Today we sit down with Kristen Chase, advocacy co-chair of the Minnesota Music Educators Association. She shares vital information about how to advocate for music in your community. Let's get right to the conversation. And it's working now, so don't change anything. Don't go on Amazon during this interview and go shopping for a new computer. You can wait till we're done with the podcast.
Yes, that sounds appropriate.
Or shoes. Or anything else. Or
anything
no,
else.
I started this quarantine being like, cool, I don't have anything to do. I'll just go buy stuff. And then that quickly became a problem. So
on Amazon all the time?
I window shop now, but I don't
yep.
buy. Like I keep seeing cute shoes and clothes that would be great. However, I don't have anywhere to wear them. So
isn't that the truth?
If it doesn't have an elastic waistband, I can't buy it. That's the rule right now.
Fair enough.
Well, but you know what you can, you know what you can do with an elastic waistband? Music advocacy.
Truth.
Yes, and you can.
Good
that is
segue
the
there.
Topic of our conversation today.
Music advocacy with your sweatpants on.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to welcome to the show this week, Kristen Chase, who is one of the MMEA state advocacy co-chairs. And we are very, very grateful for you and the time and the volunteer effort that you are already putting forward as a member of the state board. Can you tell us a little bit more just about you, where you teach, and how you got involved with music advocacy?
Yeah, so I come from a dynasty of band teachers. My parents met in band in college. They were both percussionists. And my mom was a band teacher for a time. Not many people know that, but my dad, yeah.
All those years, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, she started as a band teacher, and then she switched to become a media specialist at an elementary school in Minnetonka. But my dad was a band teacher until he retired a few years ago. My brother is a band teacher, although he is the only blonde non-percussionist in the family. So we're not really sure where we went wrong with that one. But from my dad, there was always music in our house and music was always important. And even like picking my college, I remember being in the car to go tour Indiana and I was listening to the University of Minnesota marching band CD. And I thought, well, what if Indiana's marching band isn't as cool as the U's? And then it just kind of hit me like, duh, of course I'm going to go to the U and of course I'm going to be a band teacher. And, so I went to the University of Minnesota and the marching band, and actually, Jerry, you were a huge role in that in driving me to the U. And my brother ended up going to the U. Like, we bleed maroon and gold. We bleed band in this family. Like, we were raised on the University
I can
of Minnesota
testify
bands.
To that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing the whole family, as I do.
We were raised on those bands, and so... knowing the importance of music has never been a question in my household. It was routine. That was life. Like that is how life goes in the cushy household. So
you're probably shocked to learn that other families didn't share the same passion.
Really, really, it's weird sometimes to learn that, like, oh yeah, I have to explain things to you because you don't have this background, you don't know about this. But so I've been teaching middle school band for 12 years now, and I've been teaching at Central Middle School in White Bear Lake for the last 10 years. And I've also been involved in MMEA through the Allstate Bands for the last 12 years as one of their percussion coaches. And so I've always kind of had my foot in the door through MMEA. And in college, I still went to the Midwinter Clinics, and that's how I got involved. I mean, specifically with advocacy, I think as band teachers and music educators, advocacy is something that just comes with the territory. Like, if you don't advocate for your program every spring, you might lose it. And so it's something that has, again, it's just become routine for me with every spring, every winter before staffing, I sit down with my principal and we talk about what music needs and why music is important and how to advocate for that. And it's always been something that's been important to me, and making sure music educators know how to do that. And so it's been really great to be in this position so far for MMEA and to be able to encourage other music educators around the state.
Well, a couple of thoughts come to mind. You know, when you're young in your career, you probably feel like you're learning your way, learning the ropes, trying to figure things out for yourself. And you're at the point now, a decade into your career, where you're ready to give back. Mm-hmm. And this is a really great way for you to give back, because you're the right voice. You the technology skills, the scope of thought about music advocacy. What are all the ways that music advocacy means to you? What does it mean to you? I mean, what are all the ways in which you advocate for music? You mentioned principles.
Yeah. Music advocacy is a lot of different things. Like, advocacy is kind of a big umbrella for a lot of what we do. It's advocacy to our students directly, of teaching them like why this is important. And sometimes that's even pointing it out to them that it's important. They don't always know that it's important to them until you ask them, why are you here? And you get some really incredible responses, even from 12-year-olds who say, this is the best part of my day. I'm here because I'm accepted here. And they don't get that other places. And so that's a form of music advocacy, is showing them and reminding them, hey, you care about this. Remember, like, we're here for you. And
you know, as a teacher, it's easy to overlook that.
Yeah.
The very simple fact that the students are the centerpiece.
Yep.
And we forget to ask them. We get so busy doing our job that we forget to reflect on our job.
Right.
And what impact is having.
Yep. And that they're the reason we're here. And if they're not here, we're not going to be here. You know, we always have recruiting and retention that are a part of it. And recruiting and retention is a piece of advocacy. And it's not just about numbers. It's not just the quantity, it's the quality. Because if you have the quantity will be there. Like, it won't be an issue if the kids know that the program is valuable for them to be a part of. That they know that they matter when they walk into the room, and they know that it matters to them to be in that room. It goes both ways. So we have advocacy with students, with parents as well, with booster programs and organizations, and letting them know what we need from them and what kinds of messages they can share for us that we can't share. Sometimes as teachers, there are things that need to be said and we know they need to be said, but we're not allowed to say them. And so having trusted parents and family members and guardians in your community that you can go to and have them spread the message for you, that's another piece. Again, advocating with administrators is huge. That's, I think, one of the biggest things, because no matter what the state and federal laws are for music education, and no matter who's in the office, at the end of the day, it comes down to the individual building principals. And if you have a principal who values your program, you're going to get what you need to the best of their ability. But if your principal doesn't understand the value of music, then you could be in big trouble. And so part of my role here now that I see is helping music educators to keep fighting that fight and to not give up, because it can be exhausting to have these conversations year after year when you're like, the math teacher just gets the staffing they need. Why don't I just get the staffing I need? And music just isn't seen that way by a lot of people who aren't music educators. And so I want to help music educators realize that they can keep fighting that fight, and that it's not like you're not defeated if your principal doesn't value your program. You just have to find another way to show them why. Like, you have to teach them. You have to educate them on why this is valuable.
Well, a couple of things come to mind, you know, developing relationships. And it's uncanny how many band rooms are the furthest place from the office
yeah.
where principals live, you know? And so you have to make a real concerted effort physically to go to the office to bridge that gap.
Yep.
It's so easy to sequester ourselves in our rooms with our students.
Yeah.
And kind of forget that we need to continue to develop those relationships.
Right. And another piece of that goes with staff members in the building too, especially in band and cases like orchestra, where we're pulling students for lessons, if we're lucky enough to be able to do that. Where I remember my first year at my school that I'm at now, there were like weekly team meetings with the grade levels. And I remember asking my principal, do I really have to go to these? Because my colleague at the time was not going to go to them. He was like, I don't go to those. And I was like, do I have to go? And my principal flat out, I was fortunate. He was really supportive of music education and really valued what we were doing. And he said, yes, you have to go, because they have to like you. They have to know that when kids are leaving their classes to go to lessons with you, they have to trust you, and they have to know you, and they have to know that those kids are receiving something valuable. And that was really cool to hear from a principal. And so, you know, ever since, our music department has made it a point to, like, you know, every once in a while, like, you got to get out of your office to eat lunch, and you have to eat with the other staff members. You have to be friends with the other staff members on Facebook. Like, you have to socialize, you have to network with them so they trust you.
We're viewed as specialists, teaching specialists mm-hmm. in our area, our content area. And we're the only ones in the building. You know, math teachers have other colleagues, many right. of them. And in many cases, the band director might be the only person doing what they do
yep.
specifically. Mm-hmm.
In some of these districts, if you get out there in the more rural areas, you only have a couple music teachers in the entire district even who are covering everything. And it's really important for them to be out there.
Yeah. And a little teaser, we have an upcoming episode with a band director that's a head football coach.
Oh, wow.
So talk about developing relationships in the community and in the school.
How cool.
Yeah. But I'll leave that as a teaser.
Right. Well, I want to go back to something you said about having people know you and trust you, because I think that extends not just to your coworkers and your administrators, but your community at large. I'm always fascinated. 99% of what we do as band directors is so positive. Like, people love it. And I feel like there's a lot of band directors who keep what they do a secret. I maybe it's that whole like humble Scandinavian influence here in Minnesota that people don't want to brag, but it's not bragging by showing the community what you do and what your students are doing. That's music advocacy.
Yeah.
Like, talk a little bit more about that, about ways that maybe teachers, band directors can get more connected or by sharing what's happening in their classroom or at their concerts.
You know, things people can do are any good thing that your students do, like anything, like MBDA has honor bands that are nomination based. And in our region, like, you can nominate 10 kids. And usually in my region, they're like hard up for kids for these honor bands. So if you nominate 10 kids, as long as they're not all 10 percussionists or 10 alto saxophones, they're going to get in. And that's the great thing about it, is those kinds of honor bands create opportunities for kids that might not otherwise see an honor band. So whenever those honor bands come around, my colleagues and I nominate as many kids as possible, and then we make a big deal about that. Those emails go to the entire school. They go to like the marketing person for the district with the list of kids of, look at all these kids that made this honor band. And a lot of times we get feedback back and they're like, what other schools have kids in there? And they're asking, like, where do we compare? Is this cool for us? And we're like, yes, this is cool for us that we get to do it. So any good thing that your kids are doing, if you have a guest in the classroom, if you're working with a composer, you should be advertising that to your principal. Send your school board an email, send your superintendent an email and say, hey, you're welcome into my room anytime. I open up my band room to teachers on their preps because sometimes teachers are kicked out of their rooms during preps. And I say, come hang with the band sometime. And I've had teachers take me up on it where they just like show up in the room and they hide in a corner and the kids are like, what's so-and-so doing in the room? And I'm like, they just like band. They just like band. They just want to be here. That's great. More people that are involved that see what we're doing, that always send kids to band lessons because they see what we're doing and they're like, that's cool. Kids should go. And it's the same thing with the community. You can put things on social media. A lot of times when there are things like honor bands and extra opportunities, they have like copies of press releases that you can send. So sending things to the local paper is really cool too. And the kids love it. They feel like they're superstars when they're 12 years old and they get their name in the paper. That's huge. Even if it's just the local paper, that's a big deal. And now with social media, like people can post things on there and kids have media release forms. So if their media release form signed, it's a super easy email with the list of names to your district marketing person and boom, there it is. It's out there. They can post it and tell the whole community all the great things that you're doing.
And people are looking for content.
Yeah.
Good stories sell well.
Mm-hmm. Music always makes a district look better. Always. Like, never has music made the district look worse. It always makes the district look better. And they want that. They want to show that. But they don't know it's happening unless you tell them. Because sometimes I get emails and they're like, hey, is anything going on in your classroom? We want to shoot a video. Can someone come in? But those emails go out to everyone in the whole school, not just me. So they don't know what I'm doing unless I tell them. And you got to tell them.
Well, as advocacy chair, co-chair with MMEA, tell us some of the things you're up to. What have you done?
Well, this is kind of a big year to jump into the advocacy chair. There's a lot right now. We have the whole pandemic thing, which is real big. And so within the advocacy umbrella has also kind of fallen making sure educators know about these aerosol studies that are going on and these other opportunities that they have. It's just another piece of advocacy. And so I've been just, you know, an hour before we got onto this chat here, I was looking up the recent NFHS website to see if there's anything new on there that I should know about because they had said they were going to release some stuff and they have the release from a few weeks ago, but the newer one hasn't come out yet. But it's trying to keep apprised of those and make sure people know that they're out there and telling them about that. We're also working at the state level. Me and Stephanie Trump, who is the vice president for ACDA Minnesota, I think. She's the president-elect for ACDA Minnesota. Stephanie Trump and I are meeting with Susan Klammer tomorrow, who is an epidemiologist with the Department of Education and the Department of Health. She's a school liaison there. And so we're meeting with her tomorrow to actually talk about the recent aerosol release from the NFHS study. And we've been working with the Department of Education on guidelines for the arts to make sure that arts are included and that the guidelines are, that they have music educators helping to write them. And so we've been working on that. They haven't been released yet, which is disappointing. But that is something that Stephanie has played a huge role in as well, where she's got the commissioner of the Department of Education on speed dial now. And so we're working together to really try to get those out. And it's a lot of stuff on the state level for that.
And I, if I might jump in here, I think a lot of people think music advocacy is a lot of that. It's like state law and education policy that a lot of people don't understand and don't know a lot about. So number one, we want to say thank you for the work that you and others do in that vein, but also getting everyone to understand that like advocacy is also what you were talking about before, like the things that you can do with your students and parents and in your building and in your community. You don't have to be an expert at state law or how the state budget divides up education funding to advocate for music education.
Or be a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Or,
right.
Exactly. Like that's someone else's problem. You don't have to worry about that. Like as a teacher, you need to worry about what you can do in your community and your building. And we have an advocacy kind of coalition that we formed recently with different organizations like MCPHAIL and MBDA and ACDA and like the ORF and CODI chapters from Minnesota. And we just released kind of a joint statement reminding teachers of just that on social media the other day, where we said, hey, this decision is coming out on Thursday and you need to make sure that you're not complicit in your advocacy. Like you have to advocate for yourself. You have like things can happen on the state level, but I can't advocate for you in your building. Like you have to do that. I don't have the relationship with your principal that you have. You have that relationship. You know what your classroom looks like. So when they say you need to be 6 feet apart, no one else knows how that works in your classroom but you. And you have to make sure your administrators know that. And you have to make sure that your community is ready to advocate for you. Towards the end of the school year, we sent out an email with a whole bunch of like pre-written emails for people to send to their administrators and to their booster programs to basically start getting booster programs mobilized to say, hey, we want music education included in our community in the fall, no matter what it looks like. And that's a really important thing right now, is just making sure we don't get left out, and it's going to look different in every district. So your district and your community is what, as a teacher, you should worry about and what you should be taking care of.
But if there is a silver lining in all of this, those relationships that are being formed out of necessity are possibly going to sustain for a very long time.
Yes, exactly. Like we've got, I mean, for the first time ever, we now have MBDA and MMEA and ACDA and ORF and CODI, like we're all talking to each other and saying, hey, we have to act together. And that hasn't happened before.
Yay, exactly.
And this is the tipping point. This is where we get to start that. And then we can build off of that because we have all these different organizations and we should be advocating together for things. There's so many things that we can do together. And these relations, again, just talking about building these relationships and networking, these are sustainable with your booster program, with your administrators, with your colleagues even.
Well, all these connections only happen because of leadership. So like Brad earlier, I want to thank you for your leadership in all of this, because you're making those connections happen at a more grand scale.
Thanks. I mean, I appreciate that. I'm happy. It's important. Like I'm happy to do it. I am honored that I was asked to be in this position, and I like to make a difference in things. I'm a builder and I like to build it and I like to repair things and I like to make things better. And I think as music educators, a lot of us are like that, because you don't work on a piece of music and go, cool, that sounds good, bye. Like you're always thinking, how do we improve this? How do we make it better? And even when we get to the concert, hopefully when we get to the concert, we're like, yeah, we have prepared this to the best of our ability. This is good. But it's never perfect. There's always more you can do.
And we're always ready to move on.
Right. And so this is, I don't know, this is another kind of that. This is advocacy and this network that we're building and that we're working with and that we're able to help with. It's all an art form of, okay, we did this. How do we go further with this? What do we do more with this?
Well, and I think you're already doing that. You've only been on the state board for MMEA for a few months now, but you've already made some great contributions, and you've done some great outreach to music educators in Minnesota. You know, we've been seeing more advocacy statements and social media posts, and especially as you mentioned, in the era of COVID-19, we need it now more than ever. So I thank you for using your role as the advocacy chair, not only to work really hard, but to do it very much in a transparent way where we see what you're doing and realize how we can help, and how organizations like MMEA or MBDA can help individual teachers. And you have a great program coming up that aims to do that and more. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this back to school clinic that you are helping to organize and how that relates to your mission as the advocacy chair?
Yeah. So MMEA is hosting a back to school virtual clinic August 11th through 13th. You can register on the MMEA website. It's under the events tab. I've been going to a lot of webinars and a lot of Zoom meetings from various organizations, and I see that universally there is a need for music educators to be given some solutions. And so often in any professional development settings outside of music organizations, we are given resources and said, go figure it out. Like no one actually tells us how to do it. They just assume we're going to figure it out based on this list of resources.
Yes, so true.
And we're really good at that. But everyone is exhausted right now. Everyone is exhausted. Everyone needs help. No one knows what to do. Everyone is stressed out. And so I, through, you know, meetings with choir people, with band people, from following different groups on social media of music educators, there is a need to learn. Like with the murder of George Floyd, there is a desire and a need for educators to learn how we can be better about that, how we can be deliberately inclusive and anti-racist. And I feel like every month I learn about a new song that's in one of my beginning band books that I'm like, I read about it. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't do that song. I didn't know about that. And so we want to be able to share that with music educators and how and why you should be deliberately inclusive in your teaching. And then with the whole social distancing piece of, we all had to teach online and none of us knew what we were doing. We tried,
but like, no idea.
We tried, but we were all on our own because it just happened. And that is true for every teacher out there. We just got thrown into distance learning. And so with this clinic, the focus was on, is on two main tracks. And every single session in this clinic is either focused on the equity track or socially distant learning, whether it's totally digital or like it's designed for digital, but if you're in person, you're not going to be able to maneuver the kids' hands how you want them maneuvered on that clarinet anyway. So really it's still distance learning. We have, we've tapped into McPhail. They have been a huge resource for us because their teachers have been teaching online for a long time. They teach online lessons to rural Minnesota all the time. So we've tapped into them and they are presenting sessions on this clinic about.
Yeah, I think that's so, they were doing distance learning before there was distance learning, and
exactly.
We can learn so much from them.
Exactly. And so that's why we tapped into them. Like we really tried to find people who knew what they were doing and are going to be good at their sessions. And everything about this is geared towards not just giving you resources and saying go, but we're trying to give you solutions. We're trying to show you how to do it.
New activity.
I'm excited
advocacy.
For it. Like looking at it, I'm like, oh gosh, how am I going to go to all these sessions? Cause I want to go to all of them. I think it's going to be really, really helpful. And I know I'm biased because I'm coordinating it, but it...
Will they be recorded and be available after?
Yes. So even if you can't go to the clinic or you can only go for a little bit, because I'm guessing that it's 8 hours for 3 days in a row, and we're pretty much 8 hours straight. A lot of people aren't going to want to sit at their computer for 8 hours and do that. So you can pick and choose which sessions you want to go to live. But if you're registered for the clinic, you will have access to all of the sessions.
I was looking it over. It's like a second convention for the year.
It It's a lot bigger than I anticipated it was going to be. I thought maybe we'd have like 15 sessions when I started planning it. And then people just kept coming in with more sessions and bringing more people in, which is really great. If you include the pre-recorded sessions, we have about 45 sessions lined up.
The topics that you're covering in this back to school clinic are so relevant. They're so timely. And we have to understand the culture of our now and the culture of our future. And that's music advocacy, because if we truly understand what we do and why we do it, and then we can more easily tell other people. Because I get so tired of people thinking of music as a quote unquote elective, like it's this optional extra thing. And it's not, it's fundamental to every human, and it's fundamental to our education system.
And there it is. We have it. We've solved it.
I truly believe that if every person were in a music ensemble, I don't think we'd have any problems in the world.
You know, I've said that a long time, doing honor bands like, around the world. When you bring people, students together, you make music, it's always, like you said, it is good. It is just fundamentally good.
That's a really intimate connection, and you care more about those people, and you've experienced something together that, unless you've been a part of it, you don't know what it means, because you can't describe that feeling and that connection that you have with people that you make music with. And I think that that is what was so hard for music educators in particular, especially performing ensembles like band in the spring, was that we weren't together.
This is a really, you know, nice, positive, you know, spin to put on it. But I think when it comes down to it, I hope that all of our listeners appreciate the fact that with if you don't advocate for your program, it's the first point that you made, Kristen, is that, you know, if you don't advocate for it, you could lose it. And we read articles all the time about schools cutting music or cutting band, and that's going to become even more commonplace if distance learning persists or this pandemic continues, because if people aren't in the ear of their administrators, it can get cut. And the places where music gets cut means that someone wasn't advocating. And right. It can go for anything. It's not just about music, but like if you don't advocate for what's important to you, like your voice will not be heard. And we want music educators' voices to be heard.
It's really, really important right now that music educators are loud. Like, we cannot be left behind in this. We have to make sure that we are included in this. Any decisions that are getting made at your building level, you want to be a part of, because you need to be there, because no one else is going to fight for your program like you are, because they don't know they need to. They don't know they should. They don't know the value of it. They might appreciate it, and they might respect you, and they might trust you, but they don't know your program like you know your program, and they're not music educators. We're all here for a reason, and we need to show everyone what that reason is and make sure they know how important this is to the students, especially now when we're talking about all these different hybrid scenarios, and music has to be included in that. Music, again, when we talk about like the elective classes, those are the classes that get a lot of kids in the building most days. Those are the classes that the kids like the most, because they're doing the most different things. They're tangible. Like when kids show up to band, they are physically doing something pretty much the whole time. The kids are doing something different in band, and they need that right now. They need what we are able to offer them. And even as these aerosol study results are coming out, we're seeing that it is possible to play music together. It might not be in the same size group. We might have coverings over our instruments and masks with holes in them on our faces, but it is possible to make music together safely in some capacity. And it's really, really important that if we're in some sort of in-person situation, whether it's hybrid, however that works out, like, music has to be there. And your administrators are having these conversations right now about if we're in person, what does this look like? What classes do we include? And fortunately, the art standards aren't changing in Minnesota. And our art standards, actually, our most recent ones were held up in court for a little while, but they are starting to move again, which is great. But, you know, all the requirements for music legally are still there. And other states haven't been so lucky, where other states have talked about, you know, cutting our so-called elective courses. And Minnesota has not been one of those states. And the Department of Education, in the conversations that we've had with them, they've been very, very supportive of that and of the arts and wanting the arts to still be included. Like, they know it's important. So everyone needs to make sure that your principal knows you can do this. You need to be on that schedule, period.
Do you have any final thoughts or anything else that you'd like to share?
Just make sure you're advocating for yourself, especially right now. Again, we're used to having to advocate for our programs, and know that you're not alone right now, that we are all in this together right now. You have to make sure you're advocating at the building level, at the district level, at the community level for your program. And if anyone needs help with that, if there's anything that anyone needs, if you're not sure how to say something, you can reach out to us. Our email is advocacy@mmea.org, and we are happy to help in any way that we can. But you just need to be loud right now.
Well, I really appreciate your advocacy for advocacy. being that person that's providing the tools and the resources and the motivation. So, Kristen, thank you. It's really great to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
So this has been another episode in
Band in Minnesota.